Our guest speaker this morning is Nelson Ernst, and he is the GLOW Director and the Central California Literature Ministries Director. Have you ever seen these before? These wonderful little tracks that say GLOW on them? And these are just a few examples, but Nelson and a good friend of ours, when they were in college, came up with this concept of GLOW. And so it has been such a blessing to see this ministry grow and increase over time. He is the husband to Ina and the father to Emma. And he has been such an inspiration to me. We've worked in ministry, literature ministry for a while. And I think one of my favorite memories of Nelson, it's the first time I met him. I came into the classroom, and I heard this beautiful music being played, and I saw that there was a young guy over there, and it was Nelson playing the piano, and he was playing a hymn, and it was, I believe, Watch Ye Saints, and I loved how he played that hymn. One thing that I've really appreciated about Nelson, as he's been our guest speaker for the Youth Weekend of Prayer this weekend, is that he really is able to take the Word of God and make it simple for everyone to understand. But he inspires us by what is there. And so thank you so much, Nelson, for taking the time to speak to us this morning. And even though it's on a recording, we know that we will all be blessed.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath. My name is Nelson Ernst, and I'm the director for the GLOW Tract Ministry and Literature Ministries for the Central California Conference. Some of you maybe have seen the little GLOW Tracts in your church foyer, or maybe you've read about the stories of people passing out GLOW Tracts in the Adventist Review magazine or on the internet. That's me. That's my job. I get to help make those little GLOW Tracts and encourage people to pass them out. This weekend, I have been giving digital presentations and connecting through the internet with the youth at the Sacramento Central Church. And boy, it's been a blessing. We've been going through the Word of God and learning so many different things. So I wish that I could be in church in person with you. Obviously, the coronavirus has gotten in the way of that. In fact, I was even supposed to come and preach to the camera crew at Sacramento Central this Sabbath. But recent things have made it such that I'm not able to come there. So this is a new level of technology to make sermons happen. But it's a blessing, and I hope that as we spend a few minutes together for the divine service today, that God will bless and that His Spirit will guide. Why don't we start off with a quick word of prayer, and we'll get right into our topic today. Father in heaven, this morning we come before you and we thank you so much that even during times of crisis, that your word stands sure. And Lord, that we can search its pages and we can learn and we can gain spiritual strength from the fountain that you give us. Lord, we pray that this morning that we would be blessed so that we in turn can bless others. Lord, we pray for these things and ask for your guidance and your blessing upon us this Sabbath day. In your name, amen. So, one of the things that my wife and I like to do is we like to go and do what's called birding. You'll notice that the title of our sermon this morning is Three Lessons from Nature. We're going to learn three lessons, spiritual lessons, from birds. So, birding is something that not a lot of people know. It's basically, you know, there's over 10,000 species of birds in the world. And the idea with birding is that you try to create a list of all the different birds that you find, all the different bird species. And the more you find as you travel, the list gets longer, and the objective is to try to see how many different birds you can find. And there are people who have gotten 10,000 species, but, you know, those are folks who have a big travel budget and fly all over the world. You know, my wife and I are just trying to get 500 right now, but we love it. We love going out into nature. We love finding these birds. It gets us outside. We get to learn different things about these beautiful creatures that God has created. And one of the things that I like to do when I'm birding is I like to actually find just one or two birds, not just identifying the species, but I like to find one or two birds that I can take a beautiful picture of. You know, the hummingbirds, the Anna's hummingbirds that we have here in California, and the Rufus hummingbirds, they're just so beautiful if you get them at the right angle. And these birds are just incredible. God is really amazing in the different creatures that he's created. You can see his wisdom and his love for beauty and his love for us by creating this beauty so that we can enjoy it. So what we're going to do today is we're going to look at three lessons that we can learn from birds. But interspersed with that, we're going to have three bird quizzes. And we're going to see how knowledgeable the Sacramento Central Church is with the different kinds of bird species that you bump into on a regular basis in Sacramento area. I've given this sermon at several different churches, and you know, we can see how Sacramento Central compares with the other churches in terms of their knowledge of the different bird species. So we're going to have a fun time doing that, and I hope that we can learn a little bit both about birds but also about the Bible. First off, I want to start by showing you, though, my wife and I, like I said, we even orchestrate our vacations around going birding. And here we have a picture of a bird called a smooth-billed Annie. You'll notice on the right-hand side of this slide that there's a picture indicating where this bird is found in the United States. And it's just in one little section of the southern part of Florida. So when we were on vacation in Florida about a year and a half ago, my wife found this bird, and she told me, and I ran out there as fast as I could to take this picture that you see on the left-hand side. This was an exciting bird to find. Another bird that we found while we were out in Florida was this little guy. He is called an oven bird. We took that picture there on the left. We found him in some bushes, and he was actually fighting with a lizard that he wanted to make into his lunch. And this oven bird is just a cute little guy. My five-year-old daughter, she likes to call him the toaster bird. Yeah, he's just a beautiful shot. He stood right there perfect for us to take that picture. On the next slide here I'm showing you, you'll see there is something in the trees here. Does anybody want to guess what kind of bird you're looking at here in this slide? Most of you are probably guessing an owl. If you think that it's an owl, what species of owl do you think it is? What kind of an owl? A screech owl? Great horned owl? Well, I hate to disappoint you, but for those of you who took a guess at it, it's actually not an owl or a bird at all. It's just an outgrowth on a limb. I actually, when my wife and I saw this in southern Arizona while we were birding, we thought, man, this thing looks so much like a bird. We just got to take a picture of it. And ever since, I've been fooling people when I give these presentations. So sorry to throw you off a little bit there, but I just I have a lot of fun with that picture. All right, we're going to start off with our first bird quiz, and then we'll get into our first lesson that we can learn from birds. Here's question number one on the slide here. Name that bird. Can somebody give us the name for that bird? Now, no cheating. You can't, you know, you're at home. You can't look on the internet and try and, you know, Google this. If anybody has a guess, you can turn to your family or your friend or two that are close to you, well, maybe 6 feet away from you, but anyway, tell them your guess. This is actually not a blue jay. Most people guess a blue jay. This is a California scrub jay. Okay, question number two. Name that bird. What kind of bird do you think that this is? Most people guess this one right. This is called a turkey vulture. Okay, next question. Which of these is a mountain quail and which is a California quail? Which is a mountain quail and which is a California quail? How many of you think that the mountain quail is the bird on the left? How many of you think that the mountain quail is the bird on the right? Okay. Well, here's the answer. The bird on the left is the mountain quail, and the bird on the right is the California quail. You can tell there's some significant differences in the way that they look, but they also have a very different call as well. The mountain quail kind of sounds like, it's kind of hard to describe, but if I was going to say it sounded like something, it would probably be compared to like a submarine sound when it's sending out its little radar, sonar, beeping. So there's our end of our first quiz. I hope that you had at least one or two of those answers right. Feel good about that. Let's get into lesson number one, flocking. Birds like to flock together. I was reading an article recently in a birding magazine, and they were talking about why birds get together in groups. Why do they flock? And they listed several reasons for why that happens. You know, as I was reading through the article, I thought to myself, this is so appropriate. This really there are lots of spiritual lessons that can be drawn from this. So one of the main reasons why birds flock together is because it provides protection. If you think about it, if you're a pigeon and you're trying to peck at the ground and get some food, but you know that there's potentially a hawk that can fly by and get you, you would feel much more safe, and you actually would be more safe if you were in a group and not just searching for food by yourself. Because when you're in a group, you have maybe 100 different eyes that are also looking out for danger, and it helps because there's more people looking out for the hawk that's going to come by. So birds, when they're in a group, are afforded more protection. And there's a lesson in that for us. One of those lessons is that when we're part of a spiritual group or a spiritual flock, we also are in a safer position spiritually. What do I mean by that? Well, if you have your Bibles, we could turn to Proverbs chapter 12, verse 26. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 12, verse 26. And we'll kind of flesh this point out a little bit. When we're in a group, we're afforded more spiritual protection. When we're in a spiritual group, I should say. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 26 says, "A righteous man should choose his friends wisely, for the way of the wicked leads them astray." One of the points that you can derive from this text is that God created us to be influenced. Not only influencers, but also influenced. And it's very important that we make wise decisions with who we choose to bring into our life and to associate with. Because the people that we associate with can either bring us up or they can bring us down spiritually. And this is particularly important for the young people. You have some major decisions to make in front of you. Who are you going to be married to? Where are you going to head in terms of your education and your vocation? And it's so important in this formative period of your life that you make sure that you are going out of your way to bring people into your life, your friends, your companions, who are going to bring you up spiritually, that you make choices to attend church, that you make choices to not associate with people who will bring you down. And this goes for the adults too. One of the reasons why it's so important for us to be involved in church and to be part of a spiritual body is because it provides us that safety. Imagine a group of 100 pigeons, and they're finding food out in a field when all of a sudden a hawk flies overhead. One of those pigeons is going to see that hawk. And as soon as that pigeon sees that hawk, what's it going to do? It's going to start flying away, or it's going to make a sound, and when it does that, it's going to warn the other birds that are around it about what's happening. One of the benefits of being part of a spiritual community is that we have other people who are part of our flock, so to speak, who can see dangers or can see things due to their prior experience in life that we cannot see currently. In fact, it's kind of counterintuitive, but one of the big benefits of being part of a spiritual body or a church is actually being able to benefit from the correction and the rebuke, so to speak, from other people who are part of our church. Now, that kind of sounds odd. How many times have we openly embraced correction from our fellow church members, our fellow brothers and sisters? It's not an easy thing to do. Nonetheless, it's one of the reasons, one of the benefits that we can have from being associated with a flock. Other people have had different experiences than us, and as they look in the past and they see the mistakes that they've made, they can say, you might not want to go there. And young adults, this is particularly true for you. Having a limited experience in life is in some ways a handicap to us. What's even worse is when we think that we know what we actually don't know. So it's so important for young people for us to make sure that we're listening to those who are in the church that have more experience, because they can guide and direct us in ways that are safe and benefit us with helping us make good spiritual decisions. So, the second reason why birds flock together. Number one is because it provides safety, but number two is that it provides more food. I don't mean that when a bird is in a flock that all of a sudden, you know, more manna comes down from heaven or anything, but what happens is that when birds are in a flock, they're able to focus on the task of finding food, and not spend so much time focusing on what is going to come and eat them. So because of that, birds that are in a flock are fatter spiritually, kind of like the illustration you see now. The bird on the one side is a church member and the bird on the other side is not. It's so important for us to be part of a spiritual group, because when we're plugged into that context, we can actually grow faster and stronger spiritually. You know, Revelation talks about, chapter 14 talks about when Jesus comes back, and there is depicted only two harvests. There are two harvests, but they're fully ripe. The righteous will be fully reflecting God and His character. And then the wicked will be completely representing their leader as well. And that's, I mean, if I think about it, the amount of growth that I would have to have between where I'm at right now and the picture that's depicted in Revelation, boy, there's a lot of growth that's necessary there. So we need all the help that we can get. I mean, if you're going to climb a very tall and steep mountain, it's much better to do it in a Jeep than it is riding a bicycle. So that's one of the benefits of the church, is that when we come together, we can have shared experiences, we can share with each other about the different things that God is teaching us and how He's leading us, and we can uplift and upbuild each other. In fact, there's a verse in Hebrews chapter 10 where it says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." In other words, we should be getting into our flock more frequently as we see Jesus' return coming closer and closer. And I don't know about you, but as I look at what's happening in the world right now, I can see some definite indications that Jesus is coming sooner than we think. So, let's go on to point number two, a lesson that we can learn from birds. But before we do that, let's have a quick quiz again. Which one of these birds is a crow and which is a raven? Which is a crow and which is a raven? The answer is, the bird that is on the right with the short tail is the crow, and the bird that's on the left, which with the wedge-shaped tail, is the raven. You can tell the difference between the two by the shape of the tail. The raven has a more wedge-shaped tail, and the crow has more of a fan-shaped tail. Plus, ravens are much bigger than crows. They have lower tones in their voice. And if you see one of these birds flying, and it's soaring without flapping its wings very much, it's more than likely a raven, because it has bigger wings than a crow. Okay, next question. Which is a golden-crowned sparrow and which is a white-crowned sparrow? That's actually not a joke. There's no trick question here. I just included an easy question for those of you who feel bad for maybe not getting some of the other questions right. So obviously, the bird with the white on its head is the white-crowned sparrow, and the bird on the right is the golden-crowned sparrow. Okay, birds are sometimes kind of hard to find. Can anybody see the bird in this picture? This is the easiest picture to find the bird. I have several others that get more difficult. This is a brown creeper, if you see him right there in the center of the picture. On the next slide, there's also a bird here, if you can see it. Does anybody see that bird? I'll show another picture here that gives you a little bit clearer idea of what he looks like. Now can you see him on that stump? Okay. Now the hardest picture to find the bird in. There's actually a bird in this picture, believe it or not. You might need to get close to your screen and look very closely, but there is indeed a bird here. I'll put up another slide here that gives you a picture of what he looks like if he didn't have the camouflaging background around him. Can you see him now? This bird is is, I mean, if I were walking through that field of leaves, I would almost surely step on this guy. Very well hidden. Okay, let's move on to lesson number two from birds. Birds are necessary for spreading seeds. They're absolutely necessary. This is a picture here of a Clark's Nutcracker. This bird is credited with a $800 to $1,000 value of seed planting labor per acre in the Sierras. They plant the seeds in the ground when they're storing them, and they plant them at just the perfect depth so that they'll spring up into trees. The next picture is of a three-wattled bellbird. This bird is the males put themselves on high exposure places in the tree canopy where there's an opening in the leaves so that they can advertise themselves, and that's where they drop their seeds while they're advertising themselves. The nice thing is that they seek out these high exposure places where there's an opening in the leaves of the canopy. And where they drop their seeds right there is the exact spot where the sun is able to penetrate through the canopy down to the ground, which increases the likelihood that these seeds are actually going to grow. And lastly, we have another picture here of the dodo bird. The dodo bird was actually necessary for a certain type of tree to grow on the island that it was on. And when the dodo bird became extinct, those trees stopped growing. In fact, scientists went to the island where the dodo bird was, and they found that the oldest or the youngest of these trees were 300 years old, and they began to question why was it that these trees weren't growing anymore. And they came to find out that it was because the dodo bird was extinct, and those seeds actually had to be processed through its digestive tract before they would germinate. So they fixed the problem by putting turkeys on the island. But the point for us is that we are 100% necessary for spreading the seeds. The Bible teaches that the seed is the Word of God. And God has, you know, He could do the spreading of the gospel so much more efficiently with angels or by Himself, but He chose to make us necessary as His church to spreading the seeds of the gospel to people. Each one of us has people that we have influence over that only we can reach in the way that nobody else can. And so it's vitally important that we follow the example of the birds and that we spread the seeds. There's so many different ways to do that. How can you spread the gospel? Well, you know, one way is by sharing literature. I know that my good friend Steve Gutierrez from Northern California just came over conference. He just came and preached about glow tracks and different ideas for how you can pass out literature. That's definitely one means. I remember a story in particular where one young man, he went to the second floor of a mall and he took out his glow tract. And he just wanted to see what would happen. He dropped the glow track down from the second floor. As it fell down to the first floor, a woman walked out from underneath that he hadn't seen, and she opened up her purse, and the track fell right into the purse. I mean, talk about planting a seed, right? He looked to his friends, and he said, well, that was a divine appointment. So I'm not necessarily recommending that as a method for distributing literature, but there's so many different ways that we can get the Word of God out into people's lives. But we can't plant seeds unless we have them on our person. So I want to encourage all of us, take literature with you wherever you go. Put it in your pocket. Put it in your purse. Keep it with you and pray for God to lead you to divine appointments, and He'll do that. Let's go to quiz number three and point number three. Which one of these birds is the white-breasted nuthatch? Well, it's definitely not the bird on the far left. That doesn't have a white breast. It is the middle bird. That is the white-breasted nuthatch. Which is the osprey? Which one of these birds is the osprey? It's not the one on the far left. Again, those are birds you find in Walmart parking lot. We don't have ospreys wandering around finding crumbs in Walmart parking lots. It's not the one in the middle. That's the red-tailed hawk. It's the one on the right. That's an osprey. You find them by lakes. They catch fish. Okay, name that bird. Does anybody know the name of this bird? You sometimes see them in parks or on small ponds out in nature or very still, smooth running streams. This is called a wood duck. That's a wood duck, not a mallard. It's a wood duck. Much prettier, in my opinion. Okay, last question. This is the grand finale of the quizzes here. Name that bird. Yeah. Most of you are probably guessing pigeon, and you're half right. What's the full name? What kind of a pigeon? This is actually called a rock pigeon. like a stone, a rock pigeon. The reason why they're called rock pigeons is because this particular species of bird likes to inhabit areas where there's a lot of rocks and stones, which explains why you find pigeons so much in large cities, because to them, all the cement buildings and sidewalks and streets are similar to the stone habitats that they would normally inhabit out in nature. So tuck that feather in your hat. You just maybe learn something new. All right, third lesson from birds, third and last. Look at this picture. Why are these baby birds jumping out of the nest? Did you know that many bird species, the young of many bird species, try to get out of the nest as fast as possible, even before they're able to fly? Why would they do that? I mean, it's comfortable in a nest. It's you know, you've got your brothers and your sisters right next to you, and you know, your parent comes and feeds you all the time. I mean, why would you want to get out of that scenario? Well, let's think about it from another perspective. If you were a predator or a hawk, where would you want to go to get your meal? You'd want to go to a place where there's easy prey, maybe young prey, and a place where there's multiple animals that you can eat. A nest is a perfect target, a perfect location for a predator to go and get its lunch. So if you think about it, birds, baby birds that are sitting in nests want to get out as fast as they can because they know they're a sitting target. So what's the lesson for us? Well, if you think about a regular church community, you know, even coming to church itself, you've got those nice, comfortable seats, you've got air conditioning, you've got heating, it's nice and comfortable. You've got your brothers and sisters right next to you, just like those baby birds. And you have somebody coming and feeding you from the pulpit, spiritually, at least once a week. So it can be very comfortable in a church setting. But the reality is, we have to get out, even when it doesn't feel comfortable. Get out into the community and spread the message that God has given us. You know, these birds, these baby birds that are jumping out of their nest prematurely almost, they don't even know how to fly yet, but they wouldn't have gained the skills of flight and built up that muscle to do so unless they tried over and over and over again. And they of course, they're going to get bumps and bruises and get scuffs and get dirty, but that's the same. That's the only path to learn how to fly. Likewise with us, we have to get out into the community, interact with people. I hear over and over again the objection, well, what if I talk to somebody about my faith, but they have a question that I don't know the answer to? Well, friends, that's something you should embrace. You should run to that, because when we get challenged by people spiritually and we don't know the answers, that's the best way to learn. The best way to learn is to teach. And it's okay to tell people, I don't know the answer to that, but I can look it up for you. So let's review our three lessons. Number one, God is teaching us through birds that it's important who we associate with, and it's important to be involved in church and plug ourselves in. Those of you who are going to church regularly, great, good on you, but we can always become more involved. Number two is that birds and God's people are necessary for spreading the seeds of the gospel. You can reach people that nobody else can, so we need to do that outreach. And point number three is that sometimes we actually need to push ourselves and get out of our comfort zone and get into the community. So I pray that these simple yet fundamental lessons, as we look at nature, we look at birds, will sink into our hearts today. And that today we can come up with some kind of creative way to get involved with fellow believers and strengthen ourselves and get involved in doing outreach. We can even go on the internet. You can go to glowonline.org and find options for sharing literature digitally. There's so many ways to spread the gospel, especially in this coronavirus atmosphere where people are so open. Let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you so much that we can work for you even in the most trying of times. We thank you, Lord, for these lessons that we can learn just from the simple creatures that you've created in nature. We pray, God, that you would guide us, you would bless us this Sabbath day, and you would help us to be a light in our community, even though we might not be able to go outside of our homes. Lord, guide us and direct us. Help us to seize this opportunity to grow spiritually for ourselves and to help others to grow too. We pray for these things in your name. Amen.
Thank you so much, Nelson, for that blessed message. We will sing hymn number 92. Hymn number 92, This Is My Father's World. His hand the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world. The birds their carols raise. The morning light, the lily white, declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world. He shines to me everywhere. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. Why should my
Thank you, everyone. Thank you for leading out Candace and our young people. I trust you've all been blessed today. Want to wish you a wonderful Sabbath. It's raining here in Sacramento, so if you're here, stay dry, stay warm, stay healthy, and keep close to Jesus is our prayer for you. Let's just have one more prayer together. Father in heaven, we're thankful for the lessons that we find in nature and in the air. We're grateful for what Nelson shared with us, and we pray that, Lord, we'll take the lessons to heart. May we look to Jesus during this time. May we lean on the arm of flesh, but trust you entirely. Things are a little crazy right now, but we know that you're in control, you're in charge, you're seated on your throne, and for that we're grateful. So we pray you'd bless and keep us, and may we be a blessing to others. We pray and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you and happy Sabbath.